So how did they link you two together? One, they created this straw man of you, the corporation, because a corporation can only deal with another corporation. So therefore, okay, we got that figured out. So look at your birth certificates, all capital letters. Those capital letters tell us, again, you're a corporation. Look at your driver's license. It's always caps. Look at any invitation to court. Look at any business license you've ever gotten. They're always in capital letters. So they're saying, we're treating you as a corporation. Look at your check on your checkbook. It's always in caps. When you sign, you're signing now as the surety or the one who will guarantee the corporation's funds. So you're not the corporation itself. You're the surety of it as the upper lowercase, really taking responsibility for your upper caps. If you want to frustrate a judge sometimes, just walk into a courtroom when you have a case come up and you'll ask for John Jones. And you stand up and say, I'm here, the upper lowercase John Jones representing the all capital letters John Jones. Wow, you want to see some smoke come out of their ears. I've done this. And they don't know what to do. And they play game after game after game trying to get you to admit you are the surety for the upper case. And if you don't do it, they won't do anything. They can't. I'm not saying this is a way to resolve court issues. I'm just saying that's a fact, that they will find other ways. But the point here is they do know the distinction, folks. This is not made up. This is for real. So back to our bank loan. So now we have a little history. So now we have a straw man account, and we have these credits that are created. So there's an infinite amount of credits available in every straw man's account, because in potential, any person being born has the ability in a lifetime to do what? Earn lots and lots of these credits. So there's no limit. Now, a funny thing happened, though, right after your birth. You had the birth, and then you had your cord snapped to your umbilical, and you died, according to them. And a death certificate is issued on your straw man. Now, when there's no will, and obviously there was not time to create one, the state becomes the processor of your will, the Secretary of State. So they are the keeper, if you will, of this fund, the straw man credit fund, okay, that follows you your whole life. So when you go to the bank now and are borrowing, it's really that fund is where the monies are coming from. Here's how it works. You sit down with this nice loan officer and you say, I'd like this home, need $200,000, thank you. And you fill out a form and it's a nice promissory note and it says, gosh, I'm going to pay you, Mr. Banker, $200,000 over 30 years at this percent interest rate, and I sign it. The bank didn't sign it. Looks just like a check, doesn't it? Isn't that the way we write checks? It's a promise to pay, a promissory note. And that's what it is. So he takes the note when you leave, turns it over, stamps it, pays the order of the bank, and sends it off to the Fed. The Fed is not federal, as we learned. It's not, has no reserves. It is a system of 12 banks or 12 processing centers, which really are just one, split into 12 parts. It goes to the nearest one, and what do? They simply, on their computers, tap into that straw man account created at your birth and pull out $200,000. That is wired over to your local bank into an account in your name. Remember, that's your money. What does the bank do at closing? They call you back, Mr. Jones, you're all approved, everything's ready, let's come on in, let's get this done. So you show up, and what do? They write a check off of your account. Now, that doesn't sound quite proper. But they bring it to the closing, and it gives the illusion that they funded the loan. Quite a smoke and mirrors trick. And you're happy as can be. You got your home, and you got your bill. Now, something else before you leave the branch is you've been given another set of documents to sign. And those are actually, if it's a home, documents to take away what was just given to you, because at that moment it was your money that paid for the home. That home was yours at that instant, free and clear. In bankruptcy, that's how it works. Now, unfortunately, What was given, they took away. They put some more papers under your pen, and you signed away that you are now becoming a renter in that home. A renter. Read the fine print. You'll see it in there. What that gives them power to do is to evict you should you ever fail to make your payments. See, they cannot evict a home owner, only a renter. The laws protect the owner. So they make sure you're a renter so they can foreclose. So now you go home, and you're happy, you get your first bill, and you pay it, and your second, and maybe your tenth, and hundredth, and then eventually one day you get into trouble, or you just come to a call like this, and you learn, I actually don't owe that bank anything, because they didn't loan me anything. I funded my own loan with my money. What am I doing here? So now the light bulb goes off, and you realize every dollar you've spent on principal, interest, and late payments on that house, the prior house you sold, and one before that, and all the cars, and the student loans, and the credit cards, you can reclaim every dollar, plus penalties. Now, the penalties for this process are significant, and in the banking industry, there's a special name. When somebody demands money from you that is not owed, it's called conversion.